Yeah, welcome to Tim and Joel Pod. Tim Joel, call in the ring. What day is it? It's Sunday. Talk about some wrestling. Too much wrestling this week. Rampage went on for an extra hour. Joel Pearl was there. We're going to talk about that, being there.
I was there.
You witnessed a homicide.
Probably in touch soon. Can we start with that right away? I feel the need to remind everybody about a certain all-out prediction show where you and I were going match by match, talking about what's going to happen between doing our predictions. That's what we did. And we got to Miro and Eddie Kingston, and I laid out this thing where I told you Eddie Kingston wins the TNT title. Eddie Kingston goes into Arthur Ashe. Eddie Kingston challenges Homicide to a match because there was no way that Homicide wasn't going to be a part of that show if Eddie Kingston was going to be on it. The second, I swear to God, I have proof, I have friends who are with me, the second Homicide came out, I am yelling and screaming with my mask on, mind you. I knew it. I told you I was taking a victory lap. I ran around Arthur Ashe Stadium. I went to the U.S. Open offices, and I said, I want to face the tennis champion of the world. I want to be the person who gets all the accolades because I told you Homicide would be there. And that tennis open attendant said,
we're just going to skip on past the fact that you got all of the rest of that prediction incorrect, but that's fine. You did correctly predict that Homicide would be at Arthur Ashe.
Listen, sometimes you got to take the victory laps that come your way, okay?
Yeah, well, I ain't going to let you, sir. I ain't going to let you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to keep you honest.
Well, if you're going to be honest like us, maybe leave a thumbs up here on the show. We're sorry we missed on Wednesday. I tried. I was, like I said, I was in New York for the Arthur Ashe show for GCW Emo Fight. My internet was absolute just dog garbage. It was not good. But we're here. We're here for Sunday, and we got Extreme Rules, and we're going to talk about the trip. We're going to talk about some of the shows. Leave a comment. If that's what you want to do, you can leave a comment here in our chat. You can leave it on the video afterwards if you're watching it not live, and you can subscribe to the channel here, Tim and Joel Pod. We also have a Discord. Some of y'all are joining, and I love it. Come and join us. There's a link in the video description. That's our Discord. It's free, at least for now. Tim, how was your week? Was it good?
Thinking.
Is it a long time?
No, it was good. It was a good week. A lot of housework.
A lot of housework. That's how you spent your week, doing housework.
I mean, and regular work. I had some people over last night. We watched the UFC fights.
Yeah. Oh, I also watched some of those.
Main event was good.
I am not a big UFC fan, but I enjoy myself.
Nobody got horrifically injured last night. First time
that's in a while. That's probably why I didn't enjoy myself to the fullest.
Oh, okay.
I am a freak fight
sick
fan.
Bastard.
Listen, these people have access to the best possible health care when it comes to their broken limbs and bodies.
Yeah, at a cost.
Well, it's cost they chose. So I don't have notes today because I was just like, you know what? I just got back from New York on Friday evening. We watched a bunch of stuff. I don't think we have to talk about Raw or NXT or any of that.
I don't plan on talking about them. So
we could talk about New York. We'll talk about Rampage. We'll talk about Dynamite. We'll preview the card for Extreme Rules or Extremely Normal Rules, if you will.
Extreme Rule it appears to be the case so far.
So far. I'm expecting something to come up. I want something.
Here's the thing. Okay, so I was thinking with this, what you could be doing is doing like a, you know, one of those stupid wheels where they, before every match, they do that. But they would advertise that if that was their plan. WWE would be all over that, right? Like, it'd be like, what was the last time? It was the Shotzi thing, the wheel of,
That was Halloween hosted. Havoc.
Yeah, it was horrible. The hosting bit, not the actual matches or the pay-per-view. That was the one with the zombies. Anyway, yeah, if they could be doing that, but they aren't because they would advertise that. So instead, they're treating it like one of the Hell in a Cell or TLC pay-per-views where all these regular matches and then the main event, a no DQ match. Who cares? Yeah. This is so dumb. Like, I don't know. They could just announce a stipulation before the match, but again, it's weird that they would do that. It's not normally what they do. So,
interestingly, when you get to like TLC or Hell in a Cell, you have more than one match happening.
Yeah, like a feud.
The aforementioned name of the pay-per-view. And this time around, yeah, Extreme Rules, they're it feels like they were taken off guard.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be this way, because everything kind of becomes secondary when there's a Saudi show on the horizon. We talked about this last week too. Everything ends up going to the back burner because they got to build to Roman and Brock. They got to build to Seth and Edge, which is probably going to happen there. They're going to build to the King of the Ring final, the Queen of the Ring final, which they haven't even announced.
They haven't even started.
Yeah. It becomes this whole thing, and they just put Extreme Rules on the back burner or whatever pay-per-view is happening in between then. And I feel bad for people who are going and buying tickets to these shows, because guess what? They're gonna get good matches, but they're not gonna get any like storyline or anything else. It's just gonna be match after match.
It's not like this stuff really needs all that much planning. Like, just pick one of the 1,000 stipulations you've already done. Like,
I mean, I got Mod Mike here saying he thinks Carmella versus Liv Morgan might get a cage match because Morgan said that she was tired of Mello running away. I think it's more likely they'll do something like a lumberjack match.
Yeah. Because if they got to bring a cage whenever they talk about stuff like, yeah.
If there's a cage at the venue, then yeah. Like, if someone says that, hey, we're here and there's a cage hanging, sure, that's great. But other than that, I don't see any stipulations happening that aren't already, you know, in the venue or known, aka just toys that'll be under the ring.
Yeah, like, yeah. Are all matches just no DQ? Is that what it, like, it's been very unclear, because when they did the card rundown on Friday, the only one they specifically said the Demon versus Roman Reigns was Extreme Rules, and that was it. Like, everything else is just a regular ass match. So, like, what is this pay-per-view?
And Bruce Pritchard has said on multiple times on multiple podcasts that he hated the TNA lockdown pay-per-views where every match was contested in a cage. He thinks that that completely devalues the matches, and he's right. The stipulation is completely devalued if you put them all in there. So it's possible that he said, hey, you know, not every match should not be an Extreme Rules match. That's one of the things that he dogged on ECW about, was that anything could be extreme and there's no rules, no DQ, all that stuff. However, you've got to do something.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Also, just a no DQ match isn't extreme in any way. It's not, it's barely interesting. They just did that on Monday. Right. Like, triple threat, no DQ, whoop-de-doo. Like, I don't know. This whole pay-per-view seems very weak to me. It snuck up on me. I forgot it was happening today because I just watched SmackDown this morning and I was like, oh yeah, that's today.
I mean, you know what?
What a great build this has been, like.
We're here. Do you want to just go down the card and just do predictions now for this show? We're already talking about it at this point.
Yeah, we might as well. Like, to hell with it. It's a nothing pay-per-view anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, first of all, I'll let everyone know, over at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming tonight, I'll be hosting the watch-along. If you're listening here on Sunday before the pay-per-view, we'll be live, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. I'll be there. Tim's always invited. Maybe he'll drop in. Maybe he won't. Who knows? You might see him. If you want him, go tweet at him. Tell him to go join.
Yeah, bother me. Yeah, maybe he'll join.
And then all the other friends and cast characters will be around. So let's go through this card. It's not a huge card, but it looks like it'll be pretty good matches. We'll start with that singles match. Liv Morgan and Carmella. It's just straight up one-on-one. It's a woman's match on the card. That's not for a title. I will take that. That's all I got.
Whatever. Like, who's the fairest of them all?
Yes, I don't like the way they got here. I like that they're giving Liv Morgan a chance to shine. I like
which
that
they pointed out it'll be her second ever singles pay-per-view match, which just sounded so pathetic when they said it. I was like, oh,
it is.
Okay. Good for her. I hope Carmella wins.
And that's the thing. They keep doing these self-owns with Liv.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, like, they do a full documentary, and now they're doing this. It's the only second pay-per-view match, and you're like, wait a minute, why? Because she did Money in the Bank, and now she's back, and she's doing this singles match. You know what? If this goes somewhere, I think Liv wins. I do.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before. If she doesn't win tonight, it's because Vince hates her for some reason. Like, something that we're not privy to, because I just, there's no, like, there's no reasoning behind this. She'll just keep losing, but
As far as I've been told, there's no hatred towards either.
No, person. Yeah, exactly. I've never heard anything like that either. She seems well liked, like
very
well
liked.
She's got an unsettlingly large fan base on the internet of weirdos, as Carmela pointed out correctly, I might add. But whatever.
They all loved. For the record, all those stands also loved Carmela until it came out that her and Corey Graves were an item. And that was a whole rigmarole as well. I don't know if you remember any of that.
Why does that matter?
Because at the time, because sometimes some wrestling fans can be a little...
insane? You know. That's disgusting. You basement-dwelling losers.
They got upset because there was the whole virtue signaling of Carmella being the single one going into a relationship with someone who had divorced his wife. So that, okay. The divorce was at its final... so it was in its finality. And the wife went nuts, so she was not very happy. His ex-wife.
Personally, don't.
But people, care. People digged up. People just they buried Carmella over this, which was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that's pathetic. You're all pathetic. Go, Carmella! Now I'm rooting for her even harder.
She's actually real good in the ring too.
When you I know she got much shot. Better. That's why I'm rooting for her over Liv, because I prefer her as a wrestler.
All right, so you're taking Carmella. I'm taking Liv.
Yeah. There we go. Let's go. A house divided cannot stand.
That's fine.
We're going to war.
If you didn't know, now you know, we give our predictions over in our Discord, where you can join the link in the video description. It's free. It's fun. It's always a nice way to have some bragging rights. For the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, the Usos, who are apparently the champions, you wouldn't know it. They're taking on the Street Profits, who somehow got this match after being DQ'd twice, including both times in a championship contenders match. What are we doing here?
You call them bloodline bitches, and that means something apparently, and here we are.
I did kind of like it though, the bloodline bitches.
The table collapse was my favorite part.
Yes. So listen, again, we're going to expect a very competitive match, a very fun match. I don't know how good Montez Ford is going to be after being slammed through something and walking through a table.
That's it. He just stepped on it. It just fell down.
I don't know. Those tables, they hurt.
They hurt. McAfee's dancing. Yeah.
His fat ass, he says.
His fat ass is what he said. Yes.
And then you got the Usos. They're doing the whole main event thing with the bloodline. Is it time to get rid of the bloodline, even though they just got these new shirts made?
No.
New shirts?
Which ones? The mob ones?
There's two of them. There's black and white, and there's a bloodline one, and there's the mob one. There's a bunch of them.
It's a money machine. No, I think they retain. I think it'd be cool if Street Profits took it, but whatever. And they had them not that long ago. Let the Usos keep it.
So you're saying the Usos retain?
That's what I want to see. So
I think I want the same. I also don't want to see the Street Profits go back to Raw.
No, God, no. No, 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 no.
I want to keep them on SmackDown, but I want to see a division of the tag team start to grow. I mean, we just saw Riddick Moss, right? Just made his return, and he's sided with Happy Corbin. For better or worse, at least it's a tag team, and it takes Corbin out of sitting there with his fancy hat, just being like, ha ha, I'm rich again.
I buy suits. The water wicking one looked cool, though.
didn't it, though?
That I could make. I am clumsy as hell. That would be very valuable to me.
I'm going to start using that. That's going to be my new Happy Corbin go-to.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha. La, la, la.
Who's Riddick Moss again?
He's the guy who looks like all the other guys.
Yeah, exactly. They keep hiring large men who look exactly the same. I can't tell them apart.
They all have such
shitty names. Like, I can't.
So he was injured. He had an Achilles. I think it was an Achilles tear. And he had been wrestling on it until they finally went to the doctor and found out how bad it was. So he was out for the most of 2020. He was in the 24/7 gimmick. They were starting to build him through that, and they lost him. Now they're back. So they were starting to push him, and he has potential. He was with Tino Savatelli in NXT for a little while before Savvy got both injured. They both got injured like within weeks of each other. And then Savvy got released, Savvy got brought back, and Riddick Moss is still here. So he's now with Happy Corbin. La la la. It's going to be the new
guy. So Happy Corbin and Ridiculous Moss. Got it.
Yes. Oh my God. Ridiculous Moss is right.
Yeah.
I'm for it. So you think it's going to be a retaining Usos over the Street Profits?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm in agreement. I see sports and things here saying the same. Usos retain. Let's move on. The United States Championship triple threat match. We had Jeff Hardy winning in his hometown, getting it added to the match because someone has to take the pin between Priest and Sheamus. I'm going to start this one. I'm going to put it very bluntly. Jeff Hardy's in the match so that Damian Priest can get the pin on him so that Sheamus can then move on to face Big E at the next pay-per-view for the WWE Championship, or at least find himself into the WWE Championship picture.
Sounds like the right plan to me. Love to see that championship picture, and not a big Jeff Hardy fan anymore, so it's fine.
You don't like when he comes out and he does the dance and
does the flips? It does nothing for me. Again, like, man, he was great when he was great, and now he's just lingering, and I don't know. I'm tired of it.
Were you ever a fan of his in TNA? Did you ever watch him in TNA?
When he first debuted, I bought that pay-per-view when I was a kid. Because okay. I was a huge Jeff Hardy fan. It's just, you know, I don't know, man. The ups and downs. He's had a hard time, and just like, I find it like every time he gets on the mic now, it just makes me cringe.
So he was never much of a talker.
No, exactly. Like, it was, you know, they just did extreme shit. So like, pushing him into that main event singles picture, it just never worked for me, like, ever. So
maybe they should have him like sit atop a cage or something.
Yeah, do that.
Just do that for a few hours. Tim has no more words for Jeff Hardy.
That's the other thing. Like, everyone loves that theme, and it's like, no, I like him to me was that Muzak theme that I'm pretty sure I saw in an episode of Law and Order or something once.
Oh yeah, that's very, very,
Jeff Hardy is to me, because that's what the Hardy Boys came out to. Like, that's, you know, that's who they were to me.
It was stock theme.
Yeah. Yeah. It literally is stock music. Like, yes. You can purchase it online.
Yeah.
But I'm not a huge, big solo Jeff Hardy fan.
I mean, the No More Words thing, that was like 2009. That's when kids were just like, the kids who are into it now were just getting into wrestling.
So, which,
like,
is when I was just stopping watching wrestling. Yeah. So
I see it. I see where people are excited for
Totally. Totally.
It's a good song, though. Fine. Look at this. Now Drew's singing the song. By the way, shout out to Drew. Well, when we talk about my time in New York, I'll tell you why I shout out Drew. Everyone's already seen it on my Twitter. Let's move on. So you're saying that Priest retains?
Yeah.
So am I. And we're saying that Jeff Hardy gets pinned.
Yeah, I think I think we can be confident about that. Like,
what happens if Jeff Hardy pins Sheamus to win the US title? And now we're going to have to sit through Sheamus and Jeff Hardy again. And Priest is the one that moves
so
up.
So bad.
Doesn't it?
Well, I also don't want to see Priest against E, obviously. So
I don't know. If that happens and that's the shock, I will be both upset and I will cackle because of that. What are they? They're going to go back to the same thing they did on SmackDown with the pee in the face, and it's going to be all about Sheamus saying, "Oh, you used to be an alcohol." I can't do his thing.
Irish.
Can't do Irish.
It like cartoonish level Irish.
Yeah, I used to be able to. I can't do it now. Anyway. He'll bring up the drunk thing because that's all they know how to do with Jeff Hardy in a storyline.
Yeah, because he's got problems.
Yeah, that's right. Even though he hasn't in 5 years. The Raw Women's Championship is on the line. This match, I'm actually very much looking forward to.
It's this Charlotte best Flair. Built one so far.
Yeah, Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss.
No, sorry, no, Raw Championship.
I was gonna be like, really, you like this build?
No. I got my wires crossed there. Wrong championship. Okay.
Charlotte Flair with the Charlie doll that's probably been ripped off and ripped up, and it's probably gonna come back to life, and it's gonna be in her corner at the match, taking on Alexa Bliss, who will have Lily in her corner. By the way, Lily is totally okay, totally fine. Here we go. I think Alexa Bliss wins.
I think you're right.
It's her hometown. It's the Lily thing. We've talked about this already on the show. Lily gets an accessory, but you have to purchase the accessory separately.
Yeah.
And it's a $30 mini replica belt.
Do you think they do the like, you know, the AR graphic they put up for Alexa, the face, the little puppet face, looks like a voodoo doll. Do you think they put that face on a belt? Are they going to go that brazen with it?
No, I don't think they will. I think they're doing their best to really separate the Bray stuff, even though Charlotte made a quip this past week about like, don't talk to me about originality. I laughed. I had a good laugh over that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think they're going to go that far. If they, I think they're actually starting to move Alexa Bliss away from the hocus pocus stuff. Cause otherwise that Charlie doll would have been a voodoo doll.
Yeah. Stuff would have happened. Like Lily would have factored in. She really hasn't in this entire feud build. So
yeah, it would have been like when she ripped the head off the Charlie doll, they would have done like a backstage segment with Charlotte where suddenly she's like, oh, I've got the most splitting headache right now.
Yeah.
And then everyone would be like, ah, the doll's possessed. And I would have been like, the doll's possessed. But instead, it's very much like straight up little meta things that they're doing. And I don't hate it, but I also I see where people don't enjoy it. I like the build so far for little reasons.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think this has been bad. Like I think it's funny.
Yeah,
and I think the match will be interesting. Like Alexa's been doing some really good physical work. So
yeah, and there you go. The last time Lily played any role was the Doudrop match.
Yeah, she winked. That was 100% the last. Yeah,
I don't think anything happened at SummerSlam with Eva Marie. I don't think so. It was just straight up. Match. Yeah. So I think they're starting to kind of move away. I don't know what it's going to mean. They're also not infantilizing Alexa Bliss as much anymore.
Not as much.
Yeah, like her voice is no longer this like super cute 3-year-old.
Yeah.
It's very much a more adult version of her just wearing this weird butcher's smock outfit. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure she'll get cheered. She's in her hometown and there it is. Moving on to the SmackDown Women's Championship, it's going to be Becky Lynch taking on Bianca Belair. This is the match.
This is the best built one. Yes, very. You know what? When this happened, big piss off. But I think they've used it very well. Like I think they've built Bianca even further with it. So,
mm-hmm. I agree. When Becky came back and they did what they did at SummerSlam, I know a lot of people were upset, and I kind of sat there and I said to myself, of all the times where I can say let it play out. This is the time where I'm actually serious about it.
Yeah, you're right, because it turned out pretty well. Like, they didn't Kofi her, you know? She didn't immediately disappear. She's still in the picture here. And I think they've increased her cachet. And they made it. They did it. They turned Becky into a heel who's, like, a functioning heel.
Like, and I think she's doing a
great job. Yeah.
That was because when you have someone like Becky who can deliver a very good promo, she's going to get herself into the position that she needs to be. If you don't give someone the tools, or if that person doesn't have the tools to get themselves into the position they need to be, then it flounders. And Becky has that tool to talk and get you into the room to hate her. She'll argue with people in the stands. She'll complain about every little thing. She'll find those moments to get
herself.
She'll
use weak lines like Esther just to kind of piss you off. Exactly. But it's like, it's kind of a smart move because it's so stupid. And she keeps saying it with such confidence that I think, like, you know, it's meant to be very annoying. And like,
I like that you brought that up because I have been upset by it ever since it started.
Because it's dumb. And I think she's just trying to piss off as many people as possible by casting a wide net of douchery. Like, she's probably in the back talking with Seth about it, figuring out like, how are you a dick this week? Okay, I'm going to be a dick this way this week.
We're going to get matching fur coats. We're going to get matching loud suits.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Buntu braids. There we go. We're going to go the whole nine.
God. Yeah. Anyway, she's been doing a damn good job. Bianca's hella over. People were complaining about her not, standing tall in her hometown. I don't give a shit. What a dumb thing to care about.
Like, oh, she stood tall last night. Yeah, or two nights ago. Like I said.
Oh, but it wasn't in her hometown in front of the maskless Avenger there.
Yeah, what do you want? Like, what do you expect from that? It's WWE. If you're in your hometown, it's never good.
I don't need to just pat everyone on the back all the time. They're paid for that. Like, doesn't matter. They'll be back there next year. They only do a circuit of like 20, 30 towns now. Like,
it's strange. It's just strange. Like you said, Bianca has absolutely found a way to keep herself over to become a bigger star given her position here. She lost the title. She knows why she lost the title. I don't like that people keep pointing out, oh, why isn't she more upset? It's the stupid Big E thing again.
Yeah. No, she's talking. And it's also been addressed. It's been addressed. Like, she's talked about it. They had a whole promo about it this week. And if you can't draw things from that, then you're not paying enough attention to it. Like, it's not that complicated.
Yeah, we're not here to be angry. We're here to watch this thing, you know, go the way it should. And in this case, it's gone the way it should, in my opinion.
Yeah, same. I think it's going to be an excellent match, too. Oh, now we're going to get the actual match now, you know?
We're going to get the match, or are we?
Ooh, even better. You know what? If there's some fuckery, I don't care. I'm fine dragging this one out. Just don't do it in Saudi Arabia.
Well, so here's the thing. The Saudi women's match, if they do one, is supposed to be the Queen of the Ring.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What do you do? Do you want... And if you got to make a number one contender, is it going to be Sasha?
No.
Do you make Sasha the Queen of the Ring? I wouldn't, personally.
I don't.
I still think it should be something stupid like Eva Marie. Or Doudrop, actually.
Doudrop be fine.
I said Doudrop a while ago, but yeah.
You know what? Do it. Make Doudrop the Queen of the Ring in goddamn Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, why not? I want to see this women's championship match go off without a hitch. I want to see no run-ins, no Sasha returns. Natty is Queen of the Ring.
Do it.
They're gonna do it just to get back at AEW for the Owen. That's what they're gonna do. And then people are gonna, I don't mean it, by the way. I'm not that person who's like, they're doing everything to counteract AEW. I was just at an AEW show.
I will say
I'm not one or the other.
WWE's product's gotten a little bit better.
Of course, competition
as a result,
breeds
it's
that.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Now that AEW's getting some serious buzz, it's good. It's good to see. Love
yeah,
it.
Like sports and things like Shayna is Queen of the Ring. I agree. After
again,
what she
I think
did
that would be
week.
If you want to rebuild her now, like that is a quick way to shoot her in there. You got the Queen of Spades stuff. Like you can do that real well. Use that to get her into a much better position and kind of undo the. Yeah, well, I wouldn't say undo. Like, she did decent work with Nia. Like, they built her character with that, so.
I didn't hate that on Raw, by the way. I liked the selling from Nia. I thought it was obnoxious as hell.
Oh, it was horrible. My wife was like, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, just don't worry about it.
It just happened to be there. Yeah, she was just selling and screaming and crying
so much
and everything.
Squealing.
There was a lot of squealing. But it got over what it needed to. And that said, it was a brutal attack. And it turned Shayna, but it also kept her, it kept a little bit of what she's learned over the last 2 years. She felt a little bad. She's a little more
human. Yeah, there was a little
now.
Bit of remorse in that face. And I was like, okay, that's good. Well played.
So between this, Lynch, Belair, who wins the match?
I don't know. I want to say Belair, I guess. It's tough, though. It could go either way. This would be like a very low confidence.
I think Lynch retains.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're going. Another match that I thought about happening in Saudi is not now, but in the next one they do is Lynch and Seth versus Seth Betty Phoenix.
Phoenix. Edge and Beth Phoenix. Yeah.
Yeah. What did I do? Who did I say?
You said Seth, who is.
Sorry.
Edge is Seth Light. No, I get it. I know where you stand.
Yeah. Now. Seth Light and Phoenix original. That's in a mixed tag of some sorts in Saudi as some sort of like, this is hope bullshit.
This is progress.
Yeah. Like a weird, like this is progress. Cause also think about it in intergender matches in WWE, the women face the women, men face the men. So they might do, but they'll be like, but the men can't touch or the men can't touch the women can't touch the men. So I don't know. I think that's where we're going for the next Saudi show, not the one coming in October.
That sounds like a very skippable match. I encourage them to put it on this pay-per-view.
I think there are a lot of skippable matches coming to Saudi Arabia. We'll find out.
Good. That's my.
Okay. Well, we're going to add all these in our Discord soon enough anyway. Universal Championship, Extreme Rules match. The only Extreme Rules match on the card. The only match with any stipulation in an Extreme Rules pay-per-view, otherwise known as Extremely Normal Rules. Roman Reigns, the champion, takes on the demon, Finn Balor. Is it time for the demon to face an L?
Yes.
Well, okay, then. I'm glad you were here for this. Have a good night, everybody.
I mean, like, you know, we have a stupid match coming up. We got Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
You don't like that they're doing this either, right? Where they're looking past Finn?
Yeah, it sucks. Makes it all very pointless. Makes the entire pay-per-view very skippable. Two in a row we're going to have.
what if they pull a fast one? What if Brock costs Roman the match and it's all Brock just trying to get to Finn so he can get the Universal Championship from Finn, who is less a deal to him.
Look, I'll give you the possibility that Finn takes the title and then it's Brock versus Roman with no title on the line in Saudi Arabia, but I'm pretty damn sure that they want that title on the line as part of the package that they, you know, the Excelsior package they put together for the WWE request written every, you know, they demanded some things and they're going to get this. So that's what I think about that. But
the Excelsior package, which by the way, costs $55 million per show.
Yeah. Can only be paid in blood money.
But at least it gets paid out. So if you're a stockholder, anyway, yes, I hear you. I also think that they don't care as long as the match happens between Brock and Roman. I think it should have been Brock and Roman for a non-title the whole way. We've talked about this. The Saudi show should have always been played as like this. They happen, they're taped, and we'll put them on the network later on.
Exactly.
They bear no consequence to the
actual story. They should be a house show. Like, it should be treated as just dark matches.
But. Yeah. And Dan here is saying exactly what I've been saying, that Roman's been overlooking Finn this entire time, including when they brought out the demon the first time. This should be Roman paying for that, just for that problem that he's created.
If they do that, I'll be really happy. Like, I think that this is a good way to transition the title off of Roman. And to, you know, take it away from the Usos tonight, too, if you want, and then have them chase things back or in fight for a little while. You know, I'm fine to see Roman start chasing the title again. And if Brock costs them title in addition to overlooking Finn, I think that that's a good way to transition everything.
I don't want to see the Bloodline lose everything tonight.
Yeah, I'm good either way. But like, yeah, I think it would be nice to see Finn take that title. And have just some different matches for a little bit.
We also had Big E on SmackDown last week make reference to the point that he won, or maybe it was Raw, that he's going to face Roman at Survivor Series. So that the champion thing still comes up. I don't know. They're doing in our weird brains, they're doing a good job of talking us out of Roman Reigns retaining the title.
Yeah, but I mean, by far, you know, when it all comes down to it, when I write these things down, I'm definitely going to choose Roman and I'm definitely going to give it a significant number of confidence points.
Sports and Things saying the person who beats Roman isn't on the roster.
That's
because Bron Breakker works Tuesdays.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think that we're just, it's hard for that. I think it would be hard for WWE to take the title off of Roman when he's basically printing money right now. But
he is. You're right. And they're finding ways, because of Paul Heyman being involved with this, they're finding ways to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, listen, I'm with you. Roman's probably going to retain. I am starting to get ready for something different. I'm starting to get ready for either a hot shot, like a hot potato of the title, or the next person to win. And I don't want it to be Brock Lesnar.
No, it shouldn't. I don't ever want to see part-timers win titles. I don't care. Like, it does nothing for me.
But it does everything for their bottom line.
Yeah, because people are dumb.
You know what's not dumb? Dropping a thumbs up on this here video.
One might even say it's very smart. Only people with high IQs would do that.
You can leave a comment here as well, whether it's in our live chat or whether it's on the video as well, if you're watching us after the fact. And you can subscribe to the channel here. It's free. And we're here for you. Dexter Lumis for Universal Champion. Right.
I'm fine.
That's right.
No one will ever do it, but I'm fine with it.
Have you ever had someone as a Universal Champion who never spoke except to say two words? Think about it.
Well, okay. It's time. Kane didn't get the title before, right?
He was mute. That's true.
Yeah.
And then he had
the Undertaker voice box thing. Speak with Paul Bearer?
Yes.
Okay.
Kane was in 98, so that would have been
it was
that
Kane.
Would have been,
yeah,
it was Kane.
Anyway, it's weird that I was able to answer that question.
That's all I can remember from 98 Kane with the voice box. So I went to New York. I did the thing. And it was a very, very, very interesting and fun experience. For those who don't know, I am Canadian. So I am flying through pandemic waters, as it would
crazy.
Be. Crazy. I've done this now twice. This time it was a lot easier. Tim, I didn't have to pay $150 for a PCR test to come back.
Oh, it's the American way.
You want to know how much I paid this time?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Whoa, New York State pulling out big.
New York, there's a company somewhere that has vans parked all over Midtown Manhattan where you can get a PCR test.
Was it New York State or was it the municipality?
This wasn't even government. This was a private company called LabQ.
Oh.
They're just looking for people's info. And they're
oh,
and
no.
their nose swabs.
Much worse.
So anyway, I got my brain poked for free, which was nice. Didn't have to pay for it.
You paid for it. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Doesn't matter. They don't care.
So yeah, so I went to New York on Wednesday, went to Arthur Ashe Stadium. I stayed in a hotel in Queens, which it was better than other stories I had heard about the hotels in Queens.
I don't know shit about New York.
Really? Have you been?
Queens bad? No, I haven't been.
Really? I thought for some reason you
have. I have been to Chicago in the U.S. Literally the only U.S. city I've been to.
Let's go to Chicago sometime.
No, Chicago was cool. I love Chicago, actually. Well, I love parts of Chicago. It was kind of a weird culture shock. America's strange.
It can be. So
it was weirder to me than the U.K. Anyway. Continue.
Hey, so I got there, touchdown, got there early. Met up with friends. A bunch of us went to a bar in Flushing, which is near the venue where AEW was doing Grand Slam. And it was a couple of the guys from Mat Men Podcast, a couple of guys from Post Wrestling, which was neat. Got to meet some friends. And I was there with my friend, Jim Anika, who is a wrestling fan and very awesome, awesome follow on the Twitter, if you will. And yeah, go do that. So sorry, getting messages about stuff tonight. So right, we had some drinks, some food, we hung out, and then we walked to the venue. Tim, I got paraded through the middle of a New York highway to get to this venue.
On foot?
On foot. It was like a 10-minute walk. For some reason, they had us, so the two sides of this like under the bridge. It's not really the highway. It was like the subway above, and then you had the cars driving underneath. So we were where the cars were. On either side, there's normally a pedestrian walkway.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, the one side was closed. So we're walking on the side of the street. Yes, it's construction. So we're walking on the side of the street that's closed to pedestrians. But for some reason, we're still walking, even though the other side is open for pedestrians. And we're sitting there like, why are we doing this? We're going to die. And there's a giant bus coming at us. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that sounds horrifying.
Eventually, we made it to the venue. We got to Arthur Ashe. By the way, if you're ever going to that stadium, holy shit, there's a lot of walking. It's a campus. It's you've got Citi Field where the Mets play. That's on the opposite side of the road or on the highway. And then you've got our side where Arthur Ashe Stadium is. And there's like a bunch of other venues there as well, including like the Louis Armstrong venue. So we get there. They check our vax thing. They check our tickets. We're walking through. It's a long ass process to walk all the way through. Kip Sabian is there and he's wearing a box on his head.
That's weird.
Why? Something like underrated and over it.
Is he being paid?
And people notice like he's wearing a
protest.
So it seems to be his thing right now is that he's outside of AEW shows doing this thing. Cause he hasn't come back yet from his Miro injury.
Wrist injury. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's as far as I understand, he's cleared. He's just kind of there. And they have him like he's in a nice suit and tie, but he has the box over his head. He was there all night. Even after doors opened, he was there taking photos with anyone, just hanging out, doing the thing.
So he's not coming back just to feud with Miro. He's got some weird angry at the man business. Okay.
Do not know.
I hope that dissolves into nothing.
People were there for it. People were enjoying themselves. People were taking photos. It's his new gimmick.
I hate that. That's not a gimmick.
Putting a box on your head's not a gimmick?
No, I mean, he's protesting against the company. Underpaid, underused. He should come back and just feud with Miro. What was wrong with him before?
Miro's currently feuding with two undersized humans. I don't think he needs a third.
Yes, no. Just feed him undersized humans all day, every day.
So this place is packed and we're walking through, and eventually we make it to get in. We do the security check and we go upstairs. So you have to go upstairs to get to the venue. And it says we're in section 123. Okay. So we're thinking we're lower bowl. That's not the case. Apparently the suites are lower bowl and courtside is lower bowl. Courtside is like sections, something like 30 to 60. That makes sense. 123 is the section, not the suite. So we have to go upstairs. I'm talking like two-story climb up BS. And it's a big ass arena stairs. I had to go all the way up there where everyone is. Because one, the sections of the 100s is actually the 200s in a normal human being's brain. And then the 300s right above us. Oh, it was a mess, Tim.
Yeah, it's a shame.
The lines were 45 minutes to an hour long to get merch, to get concessions, to go to the bathroom. It was messy. That venue was not prepared for 20,000 wrestling fans. They're used to tennis. They're used to a certain kind of clientele. I mean,
does the venue run the merch?
they had people coming in for it. So yes, they had an agency. So
weird.
The way that Arthur Ashe works is that the city owns the property and they lease it to the U.S. Open or the Tennis Association for like $1 a year to pay the taxes and have them pay the taxes rather. So the tennis takes care of the venue, but the city owns it. I don't know how everything worked in a business way, but it did. We get to our seats finally. We did not even try for concessions or merch or a bathroom.
No, I mean, really? I don't understand on the best of days people buying merch at things, but whatever. It's a memento.
The smartest thing that wrestling groups are doing right now, wrestling companies, is they're doing like specialized merch for the cities they're in. So Drew, who's in our chat and was there as well, he has the AEW shirt that's like, it's blue and it has the New York City skyline on it. It's like blue and green. It's actually really nice. And they've been selling that as like, it's because again, it's localized venue
stuff. What's that, Jets colors?
No, it's not Jets colors. It's,
what's that? Who's a?
I don't know. He'll tell us in the chat. But
Giants, you know. The Giants.
No, it's not Giants colors. It's like turquoisey.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, it's like blue and turquoisey. It's really nice, though. Know. The colors are nice.
Sure.
And it's gradient and stuff. They have that. They have hoodies. They have all this stuff. But like even in Vegas for WWE, they've been doing this for a while. But when I was in Vegas for SummerSlam, they had like this, the poker chip, right?
Yeah.
I've shown you the poker chip.
Poker chip.
And it's like a special $10 metal poker chip. Yeah, commemorative. And then they have like Las Vegas 316 and stuff like that. All this promotional merch. So they had that stuff there. But it was, yeah. I did not do that. We found our seats. We had great seats. We were behind the entrance, behind the announce on the side where the announcers would have been. We were up there.
Yeah.
So we saw everything. We saw where the heel tunnel was. So they were coming up and out where we were, which was really cool. See them like warming up and preparing. During the wait for, they were just showing videos like the Road 2 stuff. So yeah, we saw like the buildup to all the shows, whatever. And at that point, we left and we went to go find our friends. Like I went down, met up with John Alba. He and I got to catch up for a bit before he got his ass kicked this past weekend in Maine in a wrestling show. So don't give me that look. Ran into Sean Ross Sapp, ran into Kate Hensler from Fightful. Who did we run into? We saw everyone. Everyone that we wanted to see, we saw. Chris Harrington, the Mookie, who was one of the AEW execs, got to pick his brain for a quick second because he was running around. And yeah, it was good. And then after the show, I saw Drew, and we'll get to that after we talk about the show. The show itself, you've watched the show live, or you watched at least on TV. Mm-hmm. And I saw a little bit of it. I can tell you that that crowd was loud all night.
Mm-hmm.
It was nuts. And I don't even think TV did it justice.
No, it didn't. I have a feeling it didn't have the same feel on TV as it did live. I will say, like, that opening match was so damn good that it was tough after that for me.
Yes.
Like, it kind of messed with my energy level because it was so, like, oh.
What? I got a message.
I kind of just, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was just, like, it was such a strange experience because it was so good. And everything else was good. Like, it wasn't bad or anything. It was just, like, it was such a weird vibe that I wasn't expecting. Like, and I knew that it was a possibility that they were going to open the show because we talked about the time limit draw as a possibility and everything. And I still think it was the right decision to put it first because of that. But it did feel weird, not going to lie.
Yeah, it did. And we were, I was tipped off on Monday that it was going on first. Mm-hmm. And then I tweeted something on Tuesday asking if AEW's announced that yet. And I got a bunch of DMs from people being like, is this true? Like, is this actually what's going on? I was like, tune in and find out on Wednesday. So anyway, it ended up being the match. It ended up being the opening match. And I liked it. You know, I had a lot of
very
fun.
Good.
Very good. Fun match.
Yeah.
I sat there and I'm like, I really hope that the next one they have even more to offer. And I know they will.
They pulled that Punk
60 minutes
was the next segment. And it was like him mentioning, wow, sure glad I don't have to wrestle.
That's right.
I was like, all right, thank you for being mean to everyone.
Punk got huge reactions. And so going back to reactions in the building, again, this is a tennis venue. And tennis is very much a localized sound. You can hear them grunting and hitting things on the
bottom,
right? So we're there, like all we hear is just wall of noise coming at us. You can't hear any of the talking, or at least it's very tough to hear. You can't hear any of the video overlay if they're playing anything. Just all you hear is just white noise, really loud white noise, and it's kind of crazy.
That sounds not good.
No, that part was like, I loved how loud it was just to be like, that's huge.
Matches, I feel like that would be amazing.
Yes.
For a televised wrestling show, I feel like that'd be a little bit frustrating.
And this is kind of like the WWE versus AEW presentation difference. And I mentioned this on Twitter. They're very, very different. Mm. Both in the quality and what they do in between matches. So this particular show, Grand Slam, seemed to like go a mile a minute.
Yeah.
Commercials were held during matches, right?
Yeah.
Whereas WWE, they'll do the thing that we talked about last week on the show where they bring someone in, they go to commercial, and then blah, blah, blah. However, with this show, there was like no in between commercial banter. They just kind of had stuff. Yeah, there was no time to breathe. And when there was, it would be Justin Roberts just counting down, and that's it. Everything just went. By the first hour, we were like, oh shit, that's it. Because 30 minutes of it was the opening match.
Yep. Yeah.
It's very different. Yeah, there you go. Like Drew saying you didn't hear any of Brian's music at the start of the show.
That makes tons of sense. Like, it's also like it's a low. Like, most of that is low. There's like no real mids in that tune. So like it would be tough to hear because it's hi-hats and low. And like it was also strange because they transitioned into the beatdown brawl at the end of the opening match, which I really didn't like. Like, and that I think kind of ruined the pacing for me a little bit watching it on TV. Because like all those people come out and it's like, I don't care. And this match is going to happen on Friday, right? So
yeah, well, they had to set it up somehow. And the friend I was with was like, I think they're all going to come out. And I'm like, no, they got to save it, right?
Yeah,
and I was wrong. They brought everyone out.
They should have, in my opinion. But like, the match was so good. So good. Like,
I'm going to go back and watch it for real, real.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. A lot of it was nuanced. Like it was really, each spot was well set up. Like their transition from thing to thing was really, really good, which I think might've been tough to really see in a live environment. But on TV, it played so well.
Yeah. And so, like you said, CM Punk did his thing. Huge, huge ovation. People were very excited. They got to see him show up twice in one night, which was really cool. Had his match on Rampage against Powerhouse Hobbs. And just a great match for Hobbs and for Punk. Good.
Yeah,
everyone was really freaked out about that one spike that happened. It was fine. And for those who were kind of freaking out about it, maybe I just didn't see it from that angle. But when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, okay, he could have landed better, but he didn't. It didn't look like he landed and like
he kept his head up. You could see him keeping his head up the whole time. Like he didn't land on his neck or anything.
Yeah, it was just there.
The guy's got a lot of shoulder meat to keep him safe. Don't worry.
Yeah, his traps save the day every time.
Yeah.
So the going to Rampage, that match was fun and it was loud. It opened up the show. People were really into it. Before they did that, they had, what'd they do? They had the Acclaim come out. and they did a rap. This was off off air, I think. Or they're going to play it on like Dark Elevation or something. They had the Acclaim come out. They did a rap. They dissed Tony Khan. Tony Khan comes out and he introduces rapper, was it Lil Uzi Vert?
Oh, yeah. He was walking around.
So he's the one with the diamond in his thing and he got it yoinked. I don't know. Basically, he's Gummy Joe from The Simpsons. Gummy Joe who had the diamond in his tooth until someone yoink. I wouldn't have old Ciampa here. So he comes out and he doesn't even say anything. I thought they were going to have him do some freestyle and nope, he just fucking was like.
He was just there to watch the show.
Just there. And then he claimed, get out of here. I don't know. It was really strange and very, very weird. It's ridiculous. Yes, we need more. We need more subscribers. Please keep subscribing to us here.
Tell all your friends.
Tell all your friends. Share our links over on the social media.
If everyone here goes and tells two people, then we got 22 new people. Right. And then those people will tell two new people. You know, that's how it goes. It spirals. And I mean snowball.
Luis is asking about people chanting, you're going to get your effing head kicked in. Yes. There were people in the arena chanting that.
For what match? For the Hobbs?
For Brian and Omega. Because that's it's also part of the theme song for Brian.
Oh.
If you go deep enough into the track, it's there. Yes. People were chanting it. But also people just couldn't. People couldn't hear each other.
Yeah, I couldn't hear that. It was just
very
noise.
Strange. Like, good morning to you. We're talking about the New York experience for Grand Slam. So then they bring out MJF and they do MJF and Pillman. And the match was, first of all, really tough to follow everything that's already been happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot. I liked the match. Again, there were a lot of, he kept going back to Julia to like piss her off, I guess, which was odd. But,
yeah.
And then they ended with that too. And I was like, where is this going? But
I'm not a fan of Julia Hart being used as damsel in distress.
Yeah, it's a lot lately. Like I don't mind it here and there, but like it's been a lot.
they're making her sound stupid. And I don't like that because she's not. They're just like they're playing up like she's
the boys keep talking for her too. And it's like the weirdest thing to me.
And you and I went through that she had said, you know, I'm not comfortable talking
which
yet,
is
so
fine.
I revert to them.
Yeah, but
there will come a time where she's gonna
when
have
you
to
put everything together it looks bad. Like you gotta do one or the other, man. Like
yeah. And again, so the match was fine. It was fun to watch. MJF had all the heat. His parents were there with a sign, said something like, where's parents, and we think he's a piece of shit. Very funny. A lot of middle fingers during the show.
So many middle fingers, like to the point where it's cheesy. Yeah, Punk threw a middle finger in that Hobbs match. I was like, to somebody? I guess it was Hook. He gave it to Hook. I was like, okay.
It was Hook gave the finger. Punk gave the finger.
It was so infantile. Brandy famously flipped
off Malakai Black. Like there was just, everyone was just pissed off and flipping everybody off.
That whole segment.
It's very strange.
I enjoyed Malakai Black's response with the laugh in her face when she did it.
Yes.
But like, oh man, she should have picked some different heels. She came down to the ring and was just like struggling.
I have never been so happy with the city of New York.
Oh yeah? Why is that?
When Cody made his return.
Oh, the boo!
I was just... I just had the biggest smile on my face.
It was so great. And he seemed thrown like on TV. They were just walking down like, grumbling. And again, it just drives me nuts seeing Arn Anderson with a goddamn playbook. And I'm just like, what could possibly be in that stupid thing? Like, what does a playbook look like for pro wrestling? Like, how do you do a sequence of anyway, it's stupid.
There you go. Britt also threw a middle finger on camera. That's true.
Oh my God.
New York, it's all about them fingers. Hey man, when you're driving around New York and you get upset at someone, what do? Yeah, you give them the old one finger salute.
Holy.
What?
Angry. So angry.
Very angry. The match itself for Black and Rhodes was fine. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I actually enjoyed it and the right person won. Not really in the way I want, because I don't need to see any more missed bits, but
oh, they're gonna do it. They're gonna run it back at full gear and it's
so he's got the black mask and then the black mist. Like,
but so when's Full Gear? Full Gear is in November on the 13th, or it's that weekend. There's a full month for Malachi Black to finish the corpse paint around his entire face.
Yeah.
So by Full Gear, he'll have the full corpse paint. He'll take on Cody one-on-one for Cody's career on the line. And then he'll win. Cody
will
win.
You still think it's going there?
I kind of do.
Yeah. And if that is the case, he will win.
Yeah. So if it's going to be Cody versus Malachi for the thing, then Malachi is going to lose, and Cody's going to like kick the face paint off of Malachi Black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Cody's going to throw a kick of his own. I'm sure it'll be as spectacular as anything Malachi will do.
Yeah. For those who are asking why aren't we talking about the matches for Extreme Rules, go to the top of the video. That's when we did our Extreme Rules stuff. Now we're talking about New York. We're talking about AEW. Don't be a dick here in our live chat. That's all we ask. Otherwise, we're just going to block you, and we don't want to do
that.
Oh
my God. We know. Luis in the playbook, we no longer live in a world black.
Damn it. He did the robbery.
The playbook is actually for Arn Anderson, and it's just a bunch of inspirational Cody quotes to keep him motivated to then quote back at Cody so that Cody can actually motivate himself mid-match. I got
it. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Here's Carissa saying, you know, New York loves that finger as a proud New Yorker. It's true. Okay,
so it's an homage. Fine.
It was complimentary is what it was. So let's go to Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood, FTR take on Sting and Darby Allin. So
Sting, man, did Sting. Good. He keeps doing good.
I had to jog my memory. I'm like, have I ever seen Sting wrestle live? I hadn't, and I thought I had, but I just didn't. I didn't know what to expect. You and I talked about it in our predictions, and what did we say? We said that Sting and Darby would win, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Clearly,
it's good. It's good. It was a good match.
Decent finish spot, right? You know, the little coffin drop. That coffin drop to the apron looked real gnarly. And I think it was, I can never remember who's who. Dax, I think, tapped out to the sharpshooter, right?
I think Dax is the one who's bald.
Yeah.
Dax is the bald one. Cash is the one with hair.
So Dax. Yeah.
Fun match. Just good. Okay. They had the time. They had the crowd. I again, had never seen Sting live before wrestle. So for me, that was
little,
a lot of fun.
Little NWO homage was cool. Okay.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. So FTR come out in this NWO-like gear, and it's them paying homage to the New Day, paying homage to the NWO. And I was very much a fan because the NWO New Day was the black and red, the Wolf Pack. So they're like, we're going to do the black and white. And also they're in New York, so why not?
Yeah, that was great. It was very, very good.
Yeah, seeing 62-year-old Sting wrestle.
That is a very good way of like that's actually gonna commit it to memory now. I'll never forget again.
The way I usually do it is I think of Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was bald and a wrestler. And then Cash has the money for hair plugs.
Yes, got it.
Yes, which he doesn't do. So there you go. So Sting and Darby. They win that match. Good match. So here we go. Main event. I didn't know because we didn't hear it on the telecast, obviously. I didn't realize the Women's World Championship was the main event. But then I thought about it and it made perfect sense because it was the only title on the line for the entire show.
Yeah.
So for them to
all of it.
Finish. Yeah. For the entire show, that was it. So what do we do? We're doing Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho. I hated that finish. I hated everyone getting involved.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of that. It just felt like there's just a lot of gang warfare on this one.
Yeah. The match itself was great. They really had it together. They really had a good match. You know, Britt continues to make people proud every time she wrestles. She's doing the right thing. And Ruby Soho had a standout match. It was great.
Yeah.
I just expected better.
We had the screwy finish because we talked about how difficult it would be to book this match, and then they did it, and it was just like, okay, how do you keep everyone strong? Yeah, okay, a bunch of run-ins and all that. So,
yeah, and that was it. Then it finished. The match was over, and then they started the switch over for Rampage, and Rampage we were pretty good. We weren't exhausted yet.
That's good. Yeah.
Me personally, like I was kind of out of it. Like I was starting to get parched more than anything. I needed water really bad. By the way, I'm not going to call out everyone because it was a lot, vast majority of people not wearing masks.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was you got to be double vast and wearing masks. Yeah. This is another thing where at SummerSlam, people were wearing masks. They were much better about the mask mandate. In New York, people just vaxxed was good enough. I didn't like that. That's all.
Damn, you're going to a massive ass event.
I get it. I get it. But like me and Jiminika that I was with, like we were wearing masks. We were good. Like, yeah, come on. Come on. Even Steve wore a mask. Come on. So I expected better. That's all. So we get, yeah, we change over the ropes and we do the rampage thing. Not before Taz comes out. Team Taz comes out during the changeover and Taz comes out to his original ECW music, which is War Machine by Kiss. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, yes, freaking out, so up to it. And I don't know if they've licensed it, but it's if they're trying to do it live. I
mean, it wasn't on TV, so yeah.
Yeah. If they're going to do it live, then that's great. If they start doing it at the shows on TV, big fan of that. I'd love to see that. We already talked about Punk and Hobbs. Great match. A lot of fun. Good TV match. That's what we needed. But you know what else? Yeah. You know what we missed out of this whole thing? We missed Hook.
Yeah, he was at ringside.
He came out twice.
Yeah.
I was so excited. And he got Chance. People were so into it. People loved Hook, as they should. He was wearing purple. Very regal. Purple pants with his white top.
White, yeah.
Yeah. Very good man. Very good man, that Hook. He's gonna have a big career here in AEW. Anyway. I didn't see any of the backstage stuff. I haven't watched Rampage yet on TV, but I'll tell you what we saw live.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Taz and Ricky Starks on commentary. I don't know. I didn't love it. They're still dealing with the commentary situation on Rampage, my opinion. I don't like Ricky Starks on commentary. Like, he's fine. He's not bad at it or anything. It's just like when you put him with Taz, it makes it very weird and unpleasant because they're still doing the Team Taz stuff. So it's like, it just ends up becoming a lot about that because like the whole Hobbs CM Punk match was just them talking about it. And it was like, just call a match.
You were out of it. You were done. Yeah. I like the Ricky Starks.
Hey, Ricky Starks is better than Jericho. I'm not going to. Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't complain too much because it could be worse.
I was going to say, at least when Starks picks his spots when he speaks on Rampage. Yeah, yeah. And also, he doesn't scream into the microphone for an hour.
Much appreciate.
Yeah. So we had the Super Click. It was Adam Cole and the Young Bucks taking on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and Christian Cage. So I was... Two things popped out right away. Young Bucks came out and then Adam Cole came out on his own. What a ridiculous pop for Adam Cole live.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not over as hell.
It was absolutely crazy. People were into it. They chanted, they cheered, they did everything for that Adam Cole entrance. And then I saw the Young Bucks come out with Callis, Cutler, and Gallows only.
Gallows, yeah. I thought that was a notable omission.
Yes. Carl Anderson was not there. There is a reason for it. Everything is fine. I'll leave it at that. But yes, noticeable absence for Carl Anderson. That's that. Super Click match itself was great. A lot of fun to watch live. I mean, they went haywire. They went nuts. Throwing the Young Bucks throwing Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt off the ramp was just ridiculous towards the end of the match. And they kept using the rampway, which was a lot of fun. I like that.
That chokeslam spot, Luchasaurus, was so good. Like just picking up, who was it? I think it was Adam Cole onto one of the Bucks.
I'm trying to remember what it was, but yeah.
Yeah. Either way, it was a very good spot. And man, they had to throw everything at Luchasaurus.
They did. They made Luchasaurus look really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciated that because I'm sitting there saying they're going to pin Luchasaurus. And that's all I knew, but they had to find a way to make it look good for everyone. And they did.
Yeah. 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 That was great.
Yeah. So we got to the end of the match, that all the BTE triggers all the choke slams, all the teases, all the stuff, and Panama City Sunrise, because of course you got to do it. It's Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah.
Another super click win and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so, as expected.
Yeah. So now they're going to do Adam Cole and Jungle Boy, which I mean,
that's a good setup.
Super stoked. I want to see that. Yeah. We'll see that on Wednesday on Dynamite in Rochester. Good for us. Good for us. Wrestling fans, good for us. Okay, moving on. Was there anything backstage? Anything interesting backstage at this point, or did they go straight to Men of the Year?
Hager's promo was so bad.
Like, oh my god,
he did that on Dynamite, garbage. Right? Was that Dynamite? No. He cut a promo on Rampage. I thought him and Jericho had a little quick segment before the out in front of. Maybe I'm mixing it up. Either way,
it doesn't matter.
Hager sucks.
Hager sucks. And the match went exactly as I thought it would, with Men of the Year getting the win, as they should, because Jericho, Hager, Jake Hager was going to get pinned. We knew that.
Yeah, that was, he's only there for that. Like, he's pin fodder.
I agree. Tim is better than me. It's true. I really, yeah, exactly. They do the match, Jericho and Hager, and they do the whole Men of the Year win the match. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
I honestly, at this point, I had gotten up, and this is when I went to concessions. I didn't even go to concessions.
During the top teams beatdown?
No, so I didn't miss that. I missed the match with Men of the Year and Jagger. We'll just call him
Jagger.
Jagger. Jericho and Hager. Jagger.
Yeah.
I went to the bathroom, and then I was going to go to the concessions, and I was like, I'm not spending $6 on a bottle of water, so I came back. And I watched the beatdown. And what a beatdown it was.
Yeah, Jorge Masvidal straight up kneed Jericho in the skull. They were trying to do the Ben Askren thing, and it was funny as
hell. I never thought I would be a Jorge Masvidal fan, but he beat
the shit. Like I said, I think Jorge Masvidal would be much better at pro wrestling than he is at MMA. And I think he should work towards that transition. It'd be great. Paige VanZant, on the other hand, was just there. And it was very, very odd. Like, I don't... She like cocked her fist and then threw little tippy tap punches at I think Jericho's stomach.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay. She's like, oh, bare knuckle boxer Paige VanZant.
I like that.
Like hopping around screaming at people. I was like,
I think I liked that from her, because she came out. She was, first of all, she was the only woman in the ring. So for her to actually get something in was perfect. I needed someone. And she's also like this like piece of shit heel. Just throwing, but just being like, yeah, let me add like a hyena.
She had some,
like, yeah,
she had some strong it. Don Callis vibes. Like, she was like, she was like a pissed off chihuahua. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And I liked
like
it.
I don't know. I think you could have laid into Jericho a little bit. Like, how hard is it to pull punches? Like, he can take a little bit more.
Yeah. So we're all Masvidal fans now. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is just the way it is. I don't make the rules. And then off camera, you don't see this, Junior Dos Santos. This story's been told a billion times on the podcast now. He double legs Tony, picks him up and spins him around. And Tony's, you know, 9 days. Anyway, that's it. Then they go to the back, and that's the American Top Team match. It was fun.
Yeah, no complaints. It was good. I'm glad they didn't do another Lambert like scream fest, really. Like, they kept it pretty tight. So.
They did. They really wanted to make this a wrestling heavy show. When they said this is a pay-per-view like event, they meant it.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. We move on to the 8-man tag. It is Lucha Bros taking on, with Santana and Ortiz taking on Butcher Blade and Private Party. Again, great match. A lot of fun. Someone was asking in the chat about the Santana and Ortiz pop. It was big. Mm. It was really great. Lucha Bros equally huge pop because they're tag champs. You got it. And then Butcher Blade, Private Party. But people love Butcher Blade because they are Buffalo boys. So they're not far away from their still... hometown. I think actually Mark Quinn, one of the Private Party, or maybe both of them, might be Eastern as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, they came out first. Then they had the Hardy Party.
Yeah, it was Carissa who asked about that. But there was a lot of Buffalo, a lot of New York in the match.
Yeah.
Huge pops. People were really into it. And the match itself, again, very high-flying, very quick-paced. I loved the opening sequence where they had everyone out on the floor, like a Private Bunny, Private Party, Butcher and Blade.
Private Bunny.
Private Bunny. And then they do the two members of each team do through the ropes. Two of them jump from the top rope. It was very cool. I forget who exactly did what. It was like Phoenix,
it was
like Phoenix and Ortiz did one thing, and then Santana and Penta dove through the ropes, whatever it was. And it was fun. It was just a really good match. The crowd was starting to get tired at this point.
I was tired at this point, and I just watched it this morning.
Yeah, and we had been there at this point. It's probably 11:30 p.m.
Yeah.
We had been there since 6:30. It was a lot. But again,
Orange Cassidy came out because they're still doing Cassidy Hardy, I guess. Like
Matt Hardy with no hair. What does that look like?
Not great. Right? It can't be good. I don't think.
It can't be. And so whatever, it's fine. They do the thing. Everyone's out brawling, and all of a sudden, what happens? The good guys won. There you go.
Yep.
it was such a clusterfuck of a match. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was just a lot of people. Like, yeah, for whatever. I did not retain a lot from that match. Like, I retained Orange Cassidy came out and hit Jack Evans.
Yes.
And like the rest of it is like good wrestling. I was just out of it, zonked for some reason. Just so many people. And I like all of those wrestlers. It's just these 8-man tags. It's not really my thing.
Oh, it's not even good. It's going to be Jack Evans putting his hair on the line. It's not Hardy. It's Orange Cassidy and Jack Evans for his hair. So there, how does cool. Jack Evans Let's look do that. That? Yeah. So there you go. It's all leading up to Jack.
He'll wear one of those Jamiroquai hats, and it won't even matter. And
oh my God, the big fuzzy brim. Tall?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Him and Helico will come out. They'll continue to rave. Nothing will be different.
They randomly bring out Sammy Guevara and Fuego, and they're going to do the sign thing, and then Miro beats the shit out of both of them. Love
thank
it.
You, Miro. It was so good.
When
yeah,
Miro,
yeah, it was very, yeah.
Miro grabs Fuego and like does the toss off the ramp. Fuego, you see how he lands, right? His mask is like halfway up his face, and he's just trying not to have it slip off.
He dead.
they just keep showing a shot of Fuego each like 5 seconds. Is he still dead? He's still dead. Is he still dead? He's still dead.
There was a lot of crowd noise on the TV for that. Like people there seemed was. Very, yeah, it's crazy.
It was fun. It was good. And that was that. And so next up was Penelope Ford, my hands down favorite, taking on Anna Jay. No one really cared about the match. I did. I was just happy. Cool. It was fine.
Another double bunny night.
Yeah. And you know what? In the arena, all I could hear was like shrieking at this point. And I turned to my friend. I'm just like, is that Bunny? And we're sitting fairly high up. I'm like, is that Bunny screaming?
It's Bunny.
Like either the ring mics need to be tweaked or she is really, really
loud. She's loud. It's what I feel is that she is very loud.
It was something else. And you know what? Penelope gets the win. I loved it only because I love Penelope Ford. Sorry, I do. Got to build her. Got to give her those women tag champs or whatever they're going to do.
It's working. I'm into it.
Yeah. And so afterwards, what happens? HFO comes back out and then they do the wall. And then Orange Cassidy comes out to a big pop with Chris Statlander, and Dark Order walks out. And they all walk out together. But then Uno, Grayson, and Colt come out separately. It was very strange. Don't know what was going on.
I don't even think that was on the show.
Was it not? No, that. It was.
You sure?
Yes.
Oh, man. Sorry, I retain
down.
Nothing from 2 hour Rampage. I don't know what it is. Like
there was this whole like maybe Anna Jay brings back the Dark Order, but they didn't because all of a sudden Grayson and Uno were like done and they just walked out.
Yeah,
and
they're Cole still Cabana fighting. Like, they're still fighting, not on the main programs, and it's just like I hate this. I really don't like when they try to tell stories that matter on the other two. Like I'm not gonna watch them.
A lot of people are saying because they're in Rochester this week, and that's where Brody was from, that this is the week where they pay off a lot of Dark Order stuff.
I don't think they've done the work to pay it off, but whatever. We'll see.
And I do love it. I know it's Penelope. I know.
It is Penelope.
I know it's Penelope.
It sounds like a terrible melon, the Penelope.
It does. It sounds like it's going to be very salty.
It's just a dick flavored melon.
Oh no. And it hasn't showered in weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, and the main event lights out. By the way, when Justin Roberts does the whole, like when the lights go out, everything is unsanctioned. When you guys see it at home, it's like the lights are go out. It's black, right?
For like a quick, half a second. It's but it very goes black. Short.
but it goes black. In the arena, it's like they turn off the house, not even the house lights, but it's like
just the stage light.
It's like me doing this.
That. I'm sure all of the advertisements and the it's all still very visible.
It's just a bunch of like white fluorescent lights are suddenly turned off and on. And I'm like, that was anticlimactic. What's going on?
You know, it's corny even on TV.
So they bring out Eddie Kingston, John Moxley. They're going to take on Suzuki and Archer. Again, at this point, it's probably 11:45. We're just exhausted. The match was fine. It was just full of brawling props.
So many props.
Archer beating the shit out of people at ringside was never not funny. To the point where we're just watching the guys on the outside who are on the floor dead. And then
was that a joke? Was that him being like, there is no way in hell you are cutting Casa Nina Ray early? He just beat the hell out of these people.
So that's the thing that Archer always does, right? He always
beats out some randoms. Yeah.
For whatever reason, they had it happen this time because it's lights out. And then he just kept beating them up throughout the nights and using them as props.
They should have had him go and beat up the sound guy. That would have been funny.
Yeah, they would do a better job.
But it was good. You know, the nerds got to shout their Japanese. And
Yeah, it was
the match was fun. Proceeded.
Yeah. And the match was fun. The match went on. They used everything. And eventually Homicide comes out and I'm flipping out. I'm so excited. And listen, Homicide's been around a long time. It was time for Homicide to just come in and beat people up and hit the bricks, right?
Yeah.
So whatever happens, and then what do? It's Archer with a can over his head, and
my favorite spot. Yeah, nuts. Kingston just going like full send. It sounded like he was playing a rhythm on his head at one point. And I was like, that's very funny.
He was going absolutely apeshit. Oh, and then they did the hanging, which was very, very surreal, very strange. Wasn't the weirdest thing I saw all week, but in wrestling at least. And then that was it. So the three of them are celebrating, and then they're done, show's over, and they give Eddie a mic, and Eddie thanks everyone and says AEW is now New York's town, or New York is now AEW's town, whatever it is. But also he says, you know, thank you, thanks his mom who's in the crowd. He's very, very sweet. It was actually a really nice, heartfelt promo. Thanked Homicide, of course, put him over and explained why he was important to this. And they had a beer in the ring, and then they left, and that was the night. They thanked everyone, and we all went home. So at this point, we all get up, and we're getting up. We get out of our section, and we start going one way to leave the venue. And it's standstill traffic. It's just not happening.
Makes sense.
This is where I have to say the weirdest part of my experience at AEW was seeing a friend of mine from Toronto, who also plays in bands, was at the show sitting the section over from us. And I noticed him because he's, first of all, a very tall individual. And he's always wearing a denim jacket with patches from wrestling shows. So I'm like, is that Tom? Not Tim. Is that Tom? I only have friends with three letters and starts with a T.
I mean, we're just better.
Yes. So I messaged Tom earlier in the night and I was like, hey man, are you at the show? And he's like, yeah, how do you know? And I'm like, I'm literally the section over from you with like four rows up. So he like does the whole like, where is he? And so we find each other, and then we say after the show, we'll catch up. So after the show, I'm trying to get out of there because I'm like, it's midnight, I'm exhausted. So he messages me. He's like, hey man, where are you? And I said, oh shit, that's right. So I actually, with my friend, we doubled back. We went against the crowd and we went back towards our seats. We find Tom and we're like, what do we do? And I said, we can wait. And instead of waiting, we actually just kept going against the grain because there was nobody walking that way. And eventually we found an exit that no one was taking, and we were able to go. And it was like the production loadout area, but it was still blocked off for fans to get out without issue. Mm. So we did that. It was perfect. So shout out to Tom for being like right place, right time to get us out without waiting in that lineup.
Nice. Yeah. And it's out.
Yeah. And then we ran into Drew, who's here in the chat. Hi, Drew. And he also does some of the watch alongs with us for Fightful. He'll be on tonight for Extreme Rules, by the way. twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We'll be watching Extreme Rules. And Drew had driven to the show. He offered myself and then my friend Jim and Ika a ride. So we got a ride back to our hotel and had a really, really nice chat, walk, and everything was great. And that was the show. That was AEW. And it was a really fun Really fun experience, really cool experience. That venue needs to figure out how the hell to deal with that style of fan and that amount of fans, because it was a lot for them. Wow.
Looked good.
Sorry, I had to think. I did GCW Emo Night as well. I'm not going to bore you with everything, but Emo Night was a lot of fun. Emo Fight. I watched so much wrestling.
What makes it emo?
They had a bunch of wrestlers come out to emo music.
That's fun.
Allie Cat, who is now Allie Catch, came out as Allie Way and like dressed up very emo. Yeah. Marco Stunt performed. He did three songs, including Stacy's Mom, which was very fun.
Marco Stunt's a musician.
He's actually really good. He's a pretty good guitar player and a great singer. Yeah.
Cool.
They had other performers come out. They had DJ MDK. That's right. Nick Gage comes out and he's really just playing a song by the Black, or by, was it Black Parade? Who sings?
My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance. Thank you. So they do the
aforementioned Way. Yeah. A couple of ways in that band.
And they'd say they do that. It was fun. That's right. I went to New York for Emo Fight. That's right. So it's, yeah, that was Emo Fight was good. The Jimmy Jacobs versus Effie was a lot of fun. They did that right after the MDK DJ thing.
Excellent.
Yeah. Really fun fight. Jimmy Lloyd it's Jimmy Lloyd versus Effie. Jimmy Jacobs took on Atticus Coger. That was
too many good. Jimmys. Change your names.
Jiminy Jillikers. And the whole Jimmy Jacobs thing was because he came out to sing a song about his Lacey. So I don't know this. I don't know the lore. It's like 10 years old. It's something.
All right.
Anyway, fun night. It ended by 10:30. Thank God. I was exhausted. I'm trying not to cough. Excuse me. Audio, you get to hear me cough. I'm sorry. And yeah, so good time. And then eventually, while everyone else had their flights completely screw up and not get home on time, I got home not only fine, but I got upgraded. So I'm happy.
Woo! So what? Are you second class? Is there a second class?
Instead of being in row 19 at the back of the plane, they upgraded me to row 5 and they gave me my own row.
Whoa.
The thing is, in COVID, when they deplane you, they do it by rows now. And they start at the front of the plane. Oh. Yes.
That's better.
Yes. It was actually a lot easier to get off the plane because I don't have bags. So I just kind of get off, go home. Made it home in time for SmackDown, which we're not going to talk about. We just did. Instead, we're going to get out of here. Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Right. See where my nose is if you're watching. So it's at Tim Stone P.
Oh, I thought I was going to bring up a big enough chat that it would just block it. I was trying to
at Tim Stone P, TimbSTONEP, Twitter, Instagram.
The show is Tim and Joel Pod. We talk about all sorts of wrestling. This week was a little different because I was in New York for a big show, and now we have Extreme Rules tonight. So enjoy it. Join us tonight. I'm at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. If you're watching live, thank you. Subscribe to us. Toss a like on the video. If you're watching us after the fact, drop a comment. Give us your Extreme Rules picks. And while you're at it, join us in our Discord. There's a link to the Discord. It's free. It's in the description of this video. We'd love to see you. We'd love to have you. And until then, ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you on Wednesday for the gimmick. Cheers.